implementing innovation, globally conducive regulatory policies. This theme examines developments in harmonizing rules internationally and how they can stimulate innovation by simplifying global requirements. Do the concepts of regulatory convergence, harmonization, and cooperation represent the reality? Is there a role for ICH and other harmonization initiatives? What are the developments in regulatory harmonization in major Asian markets such as Japan and China? The theme will also explore how increased harmonization can reduce costs and complexities in gaining approvals, speeding the benefits of innovation to the patient globally. Hello, I am Alberto Grignolo. I am Deputy Editor for DIA's Global Forum magazine. I'm here with Jun Kitahara, International Liaison Officer at the Pharmaceuticals and Medical Devices Agency, PMDA, in Japan, and with Henrik Kim Nielsen, Corporate Vice President, Regulatory Affairs, GLP-1 and Obesity, Novo Nordisk, in Denmark. Jun and Henrik are providing their leadership to the DIA 2015 Euro Meetings Implementing Innovation, Globally Conducive Regulatory Policies theme, and I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to discuss this important topic with you both and to share it with our readership. Thank you for joining us today. Let me begin with a first question, if I may. The description of the theme, which I've just gone over in the meeting program, poses a provocative question that I'd like you to answer. And that is, quote, do the concepts of regulatory convergence, harmonization, and cooperation represent the reality? Henrik.
I think that we clearly see the reality in the both the harmonization, convergence, and collaboration. So if I may exemplify this, Tuesday morning we heard from the European Commission about how the ICH is being reformed to become more strong, to become more balanced, more transparent, but also to take it to a more global level by inviting new observers or new members to join as they are able to implement the ICH guidance. So I think that is a very strong tool, the ICH harmonization. But we also heard from other regulators around the world, including the PMDA, that the way we collaborate and converge the thinking among the regulators is also on a good track.
Yeah, and also I think the topic about the ICMRA. It's a kind of a head overarching the activity, all of those kind of harmonized regulation activities. So, prevent the duplication of our work. So it's also the kind of a new trend, I think.
What do you think the ICMRA will accomplish or can accomplish that ICH has not accomplished?
Well, ICH is a kind of technical, the things. They do, they create guidelines and then, but then the topic is always from the company. And then from the standpoint of the regulatory agency, some of the activity doing the same thing in other, harmonization. So to prevent those kind of things, the ICMRA would like to control what part that harmonization activity do that in specific one, and then second one, do this one, and then the other one, do this one, like something like that.
Will the ICMRA be really only confined to regulatory authorities? Will there be any room for the voice of industry or the voice of patients?
Well, I think it's still under discussion. Yeah.
Okay. Let me move to a second question. Your theme includes a China regulatory session update from CFDA and also a PMDA town hall. How do these sessions help stimulate innovation and the availability of new medicines in Europe in particular?
Well, actually, China is really the growing market, and also the place is really important for the place for the clinical trial. We really saw that in increasing the number of Chinese, Chinese patients involved in the clinical trial. But on the other hand, that place is also still under, the development of the regulation. So it's some kind of confusion still exists. But in Japan, of course, we already matured in market and also the to approve the innovative new medicine and drugs. And probably I think the audience already learned lots of things and the measures we doing in Japan. And also then maybe, you know, those kind of things, we can expand it to the Asia. So it might, you know, the attract the European to who want to, you know, develop those kind of innovative products in all over the world. They are really, you know, thinking to conducting the clinical trial in Asia, I think, I hope.
Yes, Hendrik, please.
Yeah, I think you need to see drug development as a global endeavor. Mm-hmm. So the more countries are able to allow early access of the innovative medicines to the patients, the more this will stimulate overall innovation. And I think we heard from both the Chinese FDA how they are willing to be looking at new ways of approval clinical trials being conducted in China. And we heard this morning from the PMDA how a new system is being put in place, Sakigake, to allow for very early and maybe sort of breakthrough therapy type approach in Japan. And all this will in total stimulate innovation.
Did the CFDA make any specific announcements of new ways in which they will be approaching regulation of new drugs?
No, I think they reiterate announcements that they made recently in moving more into an IND-NDA two-stage approach, whereas we previously had sort of application one, application two approach, which were quite similar and had to come quite late in overall drug development. So this may be an opportunity to conduct multi-regional clinical trials, including Chinese patients, earlier than we could just a year or two ago.
Yes, in the last several months, it seems CFDA had raised some concerns in industry that it might not allow multi-regional clinical trials. Has this concern been addressed?
No, I think we've been through a period where you go back several years, there were an opening for conducting these trials and using these trials for regulatory approvals as well. And then it's been closed for a period, but now there seems to be the opening again under a new framework.
Okay. Thank you very much. Kitahara-san, PMDA announced this Sakigake program.
Yes.
Can you perhaps tell us a little bit about what that means? What are the implications for patients, for industry?
Yeah, it's a kind of the new project we just started. In actually, we are not accepting the application. I mean, it will open on next month. But that project is to introduce the innovative, product to Japan. The meaning of Sakigake is a foreign project. So first, the company need to be designated, and the product need to be designated as a Sakigake designation. And then, once it's designated, of course, there is a criteria for the designation. But once it's designated, there's some kind of advantage, because, you know, it's treated as a priority review, and also for the consultation, we treated them as a priority items. And also, we have one consultant in PMDA who is responsible, the contact point between the company and PMDA.
What would be the advantage for a company that has a drug designated as Sakigake?
Well, one is, as I told you, and treat as the priority items. So the review period becomes shorter, and also the time for the consultation also becomes shorter. And also the evaluation period becomes longer. That's the advantage for the company, I think.
Okay. And what are the criteria for a drug being designated as Sakigake?
Well, it's developed in Japan, first in the world. Of course, we also accept the simultaneous to the others, you know, but of course, for the it's very effective or a kind of breakthrough therapy, and kind of promising. You know.
You mentioned breakthrough therapy. This is a term that the U.S. FDA has used in recent years. Are there similarities between Sakigake in Japan and breakthrough therapy in the U.S.?
Yeah, we before introducing this system, we analyze what they, you know, the breakthrough therapy is, and also the we trying to incorporate the good thing about those kind of, you know.
You mentioned the drug has to be developed in Japan. Does it have to be discovered in Japan to be designated as Sakigake?
No, it doesn't mean anything. So it means, you know, any company in the world can come to Japan to designate as the Sakigake project, Sakigake designation.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Another question, how can these discussions about global regulatory convergence and harmonization in Europe and across the world benefit smaller or less resourced regulatory agencies in continents like Asia, Latin America, and Africa? What are your thoughts on that?
I think we truly hope that with the ICH guidance and those becoming more strong, that there is an established technical scientific framework that is becoming globally recognized, and therefore these emerging markets do not need to establish that kind of frameworks and guidelines. And of course, there are in some countries there is a reliance upon an originator country for their approval based on the certificate of pharmaceutical products. So there is definitely a great benefit in these countries from having these globally recognized standards available.
Do you have you seen any evidence that the less resourced countries are willing to accept, say, the ICH guidelines and standards, or is there any reluctance on the part of those countries to do so?
I think we are seeing an acceptance of the standards. We are also in some countries seeing that that there are specific new requirements that the local authority do believe is important in that local market, and that's where things become complicated and difficult.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I attending the ICH meeting, I saw many countries attending, I mean, trying to send their representative. Maybe sometimes they're just a representative of the regional harmonization initiatives. But I think most of the countries are really interested in implementing the ICH guidelines. Probably the less number of regulators means it's very difficult to establish their framework in that country. So it's better to use the already established framework.
Some emerging countries may feel a sense of local pride in, of course, they have the responsibility for the protection and promotion of the health of their own citizens. Might they be reluctant to adopt the standards established by other more developed countries? Might they be resistant, or are they embracing this possibility?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a mixture of both. I think there's a lot of acceptance, but there's also to some extent, a local need sometimes to add up and above, say, ICH guidance for where they believe there's specific local requirements that apply.
In closing, I wanted to ask you, are there any themes or messages arising from your overall theme from the various sessions that we haven't talked about that you think are important for our audience to hear?
Well, I think the globalization theme has shown really that the convergence is on a very good track, and then I think it also shows some promise around the true harmonization through ICH. We still have two more sessions to go, and we'll see if a new thing emerges through those sessions.
Okay.
And also, I think, you know, recently the drug development is becoming very difficult because it's a kind of personalized medicine. So in that case, and it's very difficult to conduct a clinical trial in a single country. So overall, I mean, global development of drugs is needed, I think. We would like to help those kind of development.
Yeah, indeed. We've used the terms harmonization and convergence. What are your views on the difference between these two terms? Are they the same or different?
That's different, but harmonization is accepting all the requirement. But convergence is something like, in the development country, it's very difficult to completely implement the ICH guideline. So in those countries, probably the step-by-step implementing those kind of guidelines, it's kind of convergence to reach into the real harmonization.
I think convergence, as we see it, is more and more alignment occurring over time and hopefully eventually leading to true harmonization so that the same guidelines are being applied.
Is convergence a perhaps more comfortable way for some countries, some economies to globalize, if you will, less pressure than harmonize?
It clearly is, and I think it's a pragmatic way to improve the system and to move towards a better global system without these countries having to really, what might seem for them to be a big bite to chew on to actually implement fully the ICH systems.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Great. Well, I want to thank you both for taking the time to speak with us today. This concludes this podcast. To learn more about this topic or to read the current issue of DIA's Global Forum, please visit www.diaglobal.org. Thank you very much.